Amen. As Kimberly said earlier, we're on a series of called Temptation. Been on it for 2 weeks. Today will be our last installment in this series. If you haven't been with us, I want to encourage you, as we said a moment ago, to go to the podcast, to go to YouTube, kind of get caught up. What I want to do is I want to start off today by just reminding you of some things that we have said before we get into some new content. One more time, everybody's been tempted. You might be being tempted right now. Everybody will be tempted. Temptations are part of this earth experience. But as Kimberly said a moment ago, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, come on, God knows how to get you out of every temptation. God knows how to provide a way of escape out of every temptation. Come on, God is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. If we'll follow what the scripture says, and I believe I've got a key for you today that I saw several weeks ago when I was just praying that I really believe will be the key for how you and I can get more and more victories over the temptations in our life. Look on the screen. We'll give you some things, just rapid response. I would encourage you, as some people do, maybe take a screenshot of some of these things and look at them for later. Number one, temptations are sent by the devil to derail your faith. Temptations are sent by the devil to derail your faith. We found out that the word temptation in the scripture is used temptation for evil that the devil's bringing to harm, but also the word can be translated also into test or a trial. So we have to read the scripture with that in mind. Okay, what's the word of God really saying concerning this? But what we know from scripture is that temptations are sent from the devil to derail your faith. Secondly, tribulations or trials come from this world to slow your faith. They come from the world, tribulations, trials, just dealing with the battles of life. They come to slow your faith. And lastly, we find out that tests are allowed by God to prove your faith. The scripture says that God tested Abraham, who's called the father of faith. God tested Jesus. He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, but the Bible says the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. Is God a masochist? Is he trying to hurt Jesus? No, he's trying to prove what Jesus knows to be true in his own life. Tests are allowed by God to prove your faith. Look on the screen again. Temptations are evil. Tribulations are temporary. And tests are necessary. Necessary. No one goes to the next level without being tested on the level you're at. Tribulations that you're going through have a season. It won't always be that way. So you need to have faith and you need to have confidence in God that you're going to get through this trial or this struggle or this suffering that you're in right now. What we need to be doing, the scripture tells us, you run from temptation. You run from temptation. Joseph, when he's tempted by Potiphar's wife, he runs from temptation. You endure a trial. You endure a trial. You let the trial work in you. The personhood of God. The scripture says that tribulation is going to work perseverance. And perseverance is going to work character. And character is going to work godly hope. And hope's going to produce the love of God in your life. Romans 5 tells us that. So we're going to let the trouble work for us. But the trouble in our life, we endure the trial. We endure the affliction. We endure the difficulty. We endure it. And lastly, we learn from a test. We learn in a test. We're strengthened in it. It doesn't take us off course. We learn in it. Temptations harm. Tests and trials help. Get this mindset. Temptations are here to harm me. Tests and trials are here to help me. Satan, we found out, wants to destroy your and my faith, and God wants to strengthen our faith. So temptations from the devil, as we talk about that, are to get you to sin. God is never going to tempt you, so you will sin. He will bring a test. He will allow a trial or a tribulation, but it's not to get you to sin. Do you see that? So temptations, we've said for the third week again today, temptation is evil. So listen to me. Whatever you're being tempted with today, I don't care if it's money temptation. I don't care if it's hate temptation. I don't care if it's gossip temptation. I don't care if it's lust temptation. If it's pornography temptation, whatever it is, you need to have the mind today. Temptation in my life is evil. I hate it and I don't want it. And we're going to find out how we can get out of it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations." He knows how. He knows how to get you out of what you're in. We need to submit to him. We don't need to try to kind of buckle down ourselves and try to, enough strength to try to, we can work with God, of course. There's a God part and there's a man part or a woman part where we cooperate with the Lord. But the Lord knows how. He's got a strategy. He's got a system. He's got a way to get you out of whatever you're in right now. And we need to submit to that. And we found out again a moment ago, Kimberly said it, and we talked about it briefly from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, is that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to endure. So if you think the temptation is so great that now I don't know how to get out. No. It's a wrong mindset. Wrong mindset. God knows how to get you out of whatever you're being tempted with. If we'll submit to him, submit to the Spirit of God. A couple scriptures we looked at 2 weeks ago. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. I've added some words here so it'll bring out the point a little bit better. Because he himself, speaking of Jesus, in his humanity, has suffered in being tempted. Check it out. He is able to help. Come on, say it with me. He is able to help and provide immediate assistance to those who are being tempted and exposed to suffering. Again, temptation is suffering. Temptation isn't something that God is trying to throw down your throat to see if you'll resist or stand or hoop. No. It's evil and it brings suffering in our life. The scripture says he is able to provide help and provide immediate assistance. Immediate assistance. There's always a way out of whatever's coming to your mind, coming to your eyes, coming to your thought realm. There's always a way out. Coming to when you want to say something, when you want to look some way, when you want to do something. There's always a way out. Immediate assistance. The more we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, the more we're in tune with the Word of God, you and I are going to start seeing more of God and his victories in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. One more scripture of the 600 we're going to give you this morning. Hebrews 4:15. Come on, would you read it out loud? It's a lot of words there, but come on, read it out loud with me. Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning." Listen to me. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the struggle. He knows this earthly experience. He knows the weakness. He knows the infirmity. He knows the assault of temptation coming into your and my life. Because he was tempted in every respect, just as we are, yet he never sinned. So we gave a little bit of a remedy, what I think would be a mind shift in all of our lives if we'll work this consistently. Listen, me at the top of the food chain, here it is. Run to Jesus in your temptation so you won't have to hide from him in your sin. Run, run. Lord, I'm being tempted right now. I'm being tempted to say something, to do something, to see that again. I saw it, but I'm being tempted to see it again. I'm being tempted in a way in my flesh, right? And so, Lord God, I'm running to you in my temptation so I won't have to be like Adam and Eve and hide in my sin. I want to come to you, Lord God, on the front end, because I need you. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that woman. I'm done with that, Lord God, and I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you in the temptation right now that you'd hold me, that you'd, I confess the temptation. I confess, Lord God, I'm weak right now. Would you strengthen me? Would you give me a word right now? I'm turning from that. My flesh wants it. My mind is fighting me. I want it. My eyes want it again. My feelings want it again. But I really in my spirit don't want it again. So I'm coming to you in my temptation, so I won't have to hide from you and feel the guilt of sin and condemnation if I do sin. Luke chapter 8, Luke records Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. It's a little different than Mark's rendition. But he says a couple things that are interesting I want to bring out to you today. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. It's a seed, the parable of the word. The sower sows the seed. So he says this, the seed is the word of God. Would you say that with me? The seed is the word of God. Verse 12 says, those that are sown by the wayside are those who hear the word of God. Notice, did they hear the word of God? Yeah. Those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Lest they should believe and be saved. So they heard the word was sown, the word came into their heart, and the scripture says, the devil comes to take the word of God out of their heart, lest they should be saved. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, come on, did they hear the word? Yes. They receive the word with joy. Brittany was talking about that for a moment, so let's talk about that. You can receive the word of joy, with joy, but check it out. Having no root. Lord, wasn't church great? Come on, band was on fire. Pastor Gary did okay, but the word of God was, come on. Wow, amazing. And then you leave out here and no root. No fruit, baby. You got to work on your roots. We ain't talking about hair color. Come on, ladies. Come on, we got to work on our roots. I got 1 week clap. That's okay. That's all right. I thought I'd get better than that. These have no root. Look at that. They believe for a while in a time of what? Temptation. Time of what? Temptation. Fall away. So they hear. They hear with joy. They believe for a while, but all of a sudden in time of temptation, they fall away. Verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those having heard. Come on. Did they hear? They go out and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring forth no fruit to maturity. Now, what we see here, church, is that the devil is the instigator in all these scenarios. The devil is the instigator in all these, trying to get the word out of your heart, trying to, in a time of temptation that you'd fall, bringing temptation into your life, or allowing you and focusing our focus on the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, or the lusts of other things. They enter and choke the word of God so it doesn't bring forth fruit to maturity. So what we see again is that every type of person or soil heard the word of God. Here's the question for you and here's the question for me. What are you doing with what you've been hearing? So what have you been doing with what you've been hearing? Does it go in one ear and out? And by the time we go to lunch today, we haven't got a clue what we heard about on Sunday. We forget about it. It's a Sunday thing. It's not a Monday thing. Or it's got to be worked in the fabric of your life every single day, all day, every day for you to get victory. Can I get a hand clap in the room? Right. And so these different types of soil, that the devil is the instigator to get the word out of your heart. Just look with me, remind yourself. He steals the wayside word, the scripture says, tempting people to not believe the word. What would that look like? Tempting you, tempting me to not believe the word of God. Here's what it looks like. Just doubt. Just doubt. That'll work for them, won't work for me. That'll work, that worked, for you, Pastor Gary, that worked for you in 1980. It ain't working up here in 2025. Doubt. Unbelief. Just unbelief. Just will not believe. Thomas, I will not believe until I touch your hand, till I touch your side. I got to see for myself. Just flat out unbelief. And unpersuaded to believe that God's true. The wayside. He brings temptations, the devil, into someone's life that they believe for a while, the scripture says. And then when everything didn't turn around as quickly as they thought it should turn around, they fall away. I thought by now things would be different. Well, how long have you been believing? 6 weeks. Well, baby, it takes a while sometimes. How long have you been in your mess? 60 years. Going to take a little while. Come on, go check. Be committed to the word. Be committed to the word. So he tells us here with the cares and worries and frustrations and problems. He tempts with riches, meaning a couple things. You don't have enough, or you have so much, you got all kinds of options, and including, I really don't need God in this. I really don't need church right now. I really don't need to serve other people right now. I'm doing okay, God. Tempted to think you got it all together until you don't have it all together. When you read the story of Job, the brother had everything stripped from him, you remember? But the Bible says in all of it, he did not sin against God. He has some questions. He has some things some crazy friends are trying to come at him at. But he still trusted God. And the Bible says at the end, God gave him twice of all the stuff that got taken from him. So the devil is going to tempt you with pleasures. The devil is going to tempt you with cares. The devil is going to tempt you with stuff. The devil is going to keep tempting you. Keep tempting you. But the scripture tells us something in Luke. We didn't read it here, but the scripture says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Here's what we do. We bring forth the word of God, the scripture says, with patience. Come on, everybody say patience. So don't get frustrated if you don't have an immediate turnaround. Hold steady and let the power of the word of God sown into your heart not be stolen from your heart, and you will see the power of that word begin to produce in your heart. Come on, everybody. So I read this a couple weeks ago and I wrote it down because I just thought it was really good, is that growth doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen every night. That was a pretty good golf clap right there. Kind of like, do I clap here or do I not clap here? I don't know about you, but listen, like we were last night, some pastor friends of ours, their son got married up in San Juan Capistrano. And so we had it all planned out. Wedding started at 5 o'clock. And we were going to go on Highway 5. How many know Highway 5 and Highway 15 and Highway 05? It's just a mess. I'm waiting for that. Y'all seen some of that new technology about that little helicopter kind of thing, and you just fly over somewhere? I'm believing God that happens in my lifetime. George Jetson, can I get an amen? Anybody in the room? George Jetson. Come on. Old like me, cartoons from back in the 60s. And so we're on the highway, and it was just slammed when we got up, you know, just a little bit before Encinitas. It was slammed. We had Google Maps, and you know, it's all cool when I'm looking at Google Maps and it's blue, but all of a sudden I see that little yellow, and then I see red, and I'm going, oh, help me Jesus up in here. And it was forever getting up there. And I don't know about how you all drive, so let me just tell you how I drive. If you are in the left lane and are not going 80, you need to get out of the way. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. I will be on your bumper. And I will say, I will flash my lights. And Kimberly said, don't flash your lights. Don't flash. No, I don't do that too much. Just going to Las Vegas. Come on, anybody with me? We were in the slow lane, and there were five lanes, and every other lane was going 60. And I'm going, you guys must got nowhere to be in your life. So patience for me is something the Lord and me are working on. Anybody, pray for your pastor. Come on, pray for your pastor. So here's what I know. The word, we bring forth the word with patience. We don't quit. We don't get frustrated. Growth doesn't happen overnight, but growth is happening every night. Come on, every night. Every night, it's working. Come on, the word's working every night. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, and he says this in 1 Timothy 6. Having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men, drown women in destruction and perdition. So what's he saying? He's just saying the inordinate desire to be rich, or to do anything to be rich, to lie, to cheat, to steal, you know, write your card down or ever what you do clocking in, to come in late, to leave early, to gossip and betray some other people on your team so you get the promotion. Whatever you do, tempted, desire to be rich, you're going to fall. It's a snare. You're going to fall. It's going to drown you. Look at those words. You'll fall in a snare. It's foolish. You're going to harm yourself. You're going to drown. You're going to destroy your life. Being tempted with just money. So what's he tell us? Are you content with where you're at right now? Doesn't mean you don't want to raise. It doesn't mean you're not taking classes to get ahead. But are you content right now? Or are you constantly wanting more? Here it is, at any cost. Any cost. That's the word. So I've been thinking about this, as I said a moment ago, I've been thinking about this for weeks now. I'm praying a couple weeks ago. What's the main thing, God? Just concerning temptation. Is there a main thing? What's the main thing that I need to be looking at so that we can get victory over temptation? I think I got it. You tell me if you think I got it. Here it is. Look on the screen. If you change your desire, you'll defeat your temptation. We'll prove it from the Bible. If you change your desire, you'll defeat your temptation. The word desire means this: to long for something, to hope for something, that you feel it. You want it. I desire it. I feel it. I want it. I'm longing for it. It could be positive or negative. David said this in Psalm 27, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. How many know that's a godly thing? That's a godly thing. I'm longing for it. I'm hoping for it. I'm wanting. I'm feeling for that. I want to be with you, Lord God. So desire can be good and desire can be evil. Look at a couple scriptures we talked about several weeks ago when we first introduced this series. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Mankind, women, you're included. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. We've talked about tapping into eternal life, a quality of life here on the earth, which the Lord has promised for those who love him. Who love him. That's an operative word. Notice, who love him. So we said this by way of reminder in the first week, is that we need to love God more than you love the temptation. So love God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love the Lord my God, my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to develop my love, because if I'll love you, I'll hate evil temptation. Verse 13, James 1. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. As we said many times already, and this is the last time we'll say it, temptation is evil, therefore temptation doesn't come from God. But verse 14, this is our key. This is our key. But each one, you, me, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Different words, and enticed, lured, and or baited. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away. Notice that? Drawn away by his own desires and enticed, lured, or baited. So we said this, I believe we said this a couple weeks ago, is that when inner desires yield to outward enticements, sin is born. When inner desires, I want this, I really want it, yield to the outward enticements, it's messing with my flesh, it's messing with my eyes, it's messing with my mind, the thought, the feeling, the emotion, sin is born. So temptation to say something, temptation to do something, temptation to look, temptation to be something God said isn't yours, listen to me, is laying a trap for yourself and falling in the trap. I am enticed. I am lured. I am baited. Listen to me. Not by the devil, but by my own desire. If I can work on my desire, the devil won't have a chance at tempting me. And here's where it gets really kind of awful. Because here's what we see. This verse 15 is what we see. But it happens before. A week before, a year before, recently, in the last, there's a prominent nationwide pastor. It seems like it, you know, always happens. I don't care if it's a politician or a pastor or a housewife. But a seed, listen to me, seeds grow, baby. Good ones and not good ones. They always grow when they get into a heart. Always. And when you are tempted, you start watering that bad seed until you say, Lord, I love you more than the temptation. Get this out of me. I desire you more than I desire it. My flesh, I'm telling you, my flesh wants it. My flesh, it craves it. My flesh, but I will crucify my flesh. I will renew my mind so that I can make it to the finish line unscathed by the enemy. Can you say amen in the room? Yeah. So here's what it says, verse 15. How are we doing? We doing all right? When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. In the New Testament, when you see the word death, it doesn't mean necessarily physical death, although we're all going to die. It's talking about spiritual death, separation from God. So look what on the screen. Temptation never stays the same. It always grows. When the line is crossed, it moves you further and further and further away from God. We said last week concerning King David had all kinds of wives. The scripture says, I don't want you to do that. God specifically told kings, do not have many wives. They'll draw your heart away. He had wives, he had concubines, and this was a cycle in his life. And all of a sudden, he's up on the rooftop when the kings are supposed to be going to war, and he sees Bathsheba over there and says, I want her. Well, this is a cycle. This is history in his life. And it doesn't stay the same. Never before had he done this, but all of a sudden he sleeps with her. She conceives a child. When she's shown or doesn't have her cycle, and all of a sudden she comes to him and says, I got a baby up in here. All of a sudden sin is conceived. And when sin is conceived, it's going to give birth to sin and it's going to start the cycle. I need to hide this. What am I going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send her husband to the front line, and the archers are going to shoot him, and he's going to die. And so now this sin will be covered. Sin is never covered. Sin will always be exposed. Temptation never stays the same. It always grows. So temptation's goal, listen, is to destroy you. It's to destroy you. And so James tells us that the real battle with temptation, listen to me, begins in your heart. Begins in your heart. Begins in your heart. And so with this desire thing, this is huge. This is huge. Because you can't blame the devil for a temptation when you fail to address the desire. If you won't address the desire, it's not, you know, the devil made me do it, although the devil is the instigator. It's I haven't worked on my desire. So we said this for weeks now, 3 weeks now. Confess your temptation. Confess your temptation so you won't need to confess your sin. So let's talk as we start wrapping this up. Come on, band, why don't you guys come up here right now? Help me with some music. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 26, this is Jesus talking to his disciples when he's in the garden. Can you read that out loud with me, church? Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know we got weak flesh. We can't defeat the devil in our flesh. But what's God say is going to help us in the middle of our situation, our temptation? What's he say? Watch and pray. Be alert, stay awake, develop a lifestyle of prayer, of daily communion with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. It's going to safeguard you against temptation, is what he's telling us. It's what he's telling us. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So, as Brittany said a moment ago, the day in, the day out, the week in, the week out, where you don't think anything's going on as you're reading the word, as you're prayer, as you're just spending time with God. Listen to me, something is going on. You're getting stronger and stronger to resist the temptations of the devil in your life. You're getting stronger and stronger to be able to endure when you're going through tests and trials and difficulties and things in your life. The scripture's clear. So I believe this with all my heart. What he's telling us is that consistent prayer, listen, consistent prayer is going to defeat an aggressive devil. Just consistent. I was talking to Carlos about it this morning, is that when we talk about discipleship, when we talk about becoming more and more like Jesus, you know, number one thing in your tool chest? Consistency. Just consistency. Showing up when you feel like it, showing up when you don't feel like it, reading, praying when you don't feel like it, when nothing's going on, when it feels like God's distant, listen to me, just being the same. The scripture's telling us, listen to me, that you are going to defeat every aggressive attempt of the enemy to deceive you. But listen to me, even prayer has to do with desire. Let's be real, church. You don't pray because you really don't desire it. We're all tempted not to pray. So if we're tempted not to pray, let's clue in, let's flip the script. That should be a signal to us, I need to pray. I'm being tempted not to pray. I'm being tempted not to read my word. Why are you reading the word again? Scroll for a minute. Book the appointment for a minute. Go take a walk. No. I'm gonna hide the word in my heart. I'm gonna draw near to you. The psalmist said that in Psalm 119. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm gonna hide the word in my heart. The word's gonna be fuel for me against the temptations and the strategies of the devil to take me out. If I give in and keep giving in, I'm drawing myself more and more away from God, and it's gonna be at one point separation from God. And I don't want that. So I'm taking my daily medicine and I'm drawing near to you. I believe this with all my heart, church, is that if you get more word in your life, more word's gonna lead to more victories. I believe with all my heart. More word's gonna lead to more victories. So this is just what you do day in and day out. Help me, Lord God, to discover the truth, your truth. These temptations are lies and strategies against your truth. Ground me, Lord God, that I can think what the truth says, and that your purity and your cleanliness and your holiness and your honor is going to be in my life. I've been praying a prayer. I want to encourage you. If you don't know this from Psalm 51, this is a psalm that when David was confronted with Nathan the prophet after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and David's just in sorrow and brokenness. And he says this in this one translation, the Passion Translation. I've been praying this for months now. I want to encourage you to do it. Psalm 51, verse 10. Come on, can you read that out loud with me? I think it's on the screen there. Come on, read it out loud with me. Come on. Keep creating in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires ready to please you. Keep creating in me. Keep creating in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires. Holy desires ready to please you. Listen, God's desires come from God's thoughts. God's thoughts come from God's word. God can only create in you, listen to me, what you put in you. God can't create in you what you don't put in you. I know you're saved. I know you said yes to Jesus. But if you don't have any word in you, you're a saved man, but a dead man or dead woman walking. So how can I get victory over this? Over? I don't feel good. I'm feeling tempted to not feel like I'm good enough. So I'm always striving. I'm always struggling. Lord, change that desire. It's going to come from your thoughts, and your thoughts are going to be found in your word. And so I'm going to put that in me, so you'll create in me what I'm putting in me. David says this. I'm almost done. Come on, stand up. Would you do it? You've been sitting for a while. Psalm 139, David's recounting how good God is. And he says, search me thoroughly. Come on, would you pray this prayer out loud? Say it out loud as a prayer to the Lord. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Come on, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in everlasting life. Come on, search me, Lord. Come on, just pray that. Come on, let a worship time be in your heart right now. Search me, Lord God, thoroughly. Let the light of your word, the light of your love, search my heart. Lord, try me. Know my thoughts. Is there any wicked thing? Is there any hurtful thing? Is there any harmful thing in my life right now? Is there any seed of the enemy in my heart right now that's drawing me away from you, Lord God? Lead me. Come on, church. Lead me in the way of everlasting life. Lead me in the way of everlasting life. God is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. God is creating in you desire. So come on, all over the room, would you lift a hand to the Lord? Come on, we just need new desires. And God's going to give us new desires. We just desire you, Lord God. We want you. We desire your word, your spirit, your holiness, your purity. We desire your way, Lord God, not our way. We want you, Lord God. We want you, so search us, try us, know us, oh God. We confess any sin. Come on, right there where you're at. Any sin, anything going on where you're being tempted right now. Confess the temptation right now. I'm being tempted, Lord God. Create a new desire in me. Create new desire in me. I don't want that to be conceived. I don't want that to bring forth sin. I don't want that to bring forth separation from you. So I confess the temptation so I won't have to confess the sin. Lord God, you've been good to me, Father. I don't want anything. I don't want to be lured or baited by and enticed by my own desire. So I'm saying today, Lord God, I desire you. I want you. I love you more than I love the temptation. I love you for notoriety, for approval, for praise of man. Lord God, today, keep creating in us a clean heart. Fill us with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. Setting you on a trajectory that you could never believe. Listen to me. I never would have believed that I would have been a pastor in 1980. Never. Never in a million years. Maybe God's not called you to do that, but God will set you on a trajectory and a road that you'll just look back and say, the Lord's been good to me. He's been good to me. So all over the room, listen to me. I'm going to just say a prayer. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to raise your hand. You want to be included in that prayer? Come on. Just to raise a hand and say, that's me. I want to make a change today. I want to make a change today. God will come and meet you right there at your point of need. So come on. You want to be included in a prayer that we're going to pray out loud? You won't be praying by yourself. Come on. You want that? Come on. Just lift your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I want Jesus. Come on. All over the room. I want Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Thanks back in the back. Awesome. I want Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Let's pray this out loud, everybody in the church. Come on. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord. Be my Savior forever and ever. I repent. I change my mind. I'm changing my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I'll never be the same. Come on, in Jesus' name, can you say amen, church? Come on, we clap our hands for you, you the four or five that prayed that prayer. Come on, that's where new life begins right now. Come on, that's a seed right now. Come on, that's a seed right now, working in your life, working in your heart. It's gonna keep producing. Come on, it's gonna bring, you're gonna bring forth that word of salvation with patience. So what's that mean? Show up next week. Come on, show up next week. Come on, fight the devil off. Ah, seems like a beach day. No, ain't no beach day. It's a church day. Get around some people who are going to strengthen your faith. Scripture's real clear. You will become like who you hang with. Who you running with. Who are your running buddies? Find some godly people. How are you going to do that? Get involved in a small group. Come on, get involved on a serve team. Get involved in young adults. Start surrounding yourself with some new friends that got some issues, but found a God who will be in the middle of all your issues. Come on, everybody. Glory to God. Listen, God's got nothing but victory for you. He's got nothing but victory for you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Have faith in God. Amen. Hey, we love you. Our prayer partners are going to be here. If we can pray with you about anything, we'd love to do it. Otherwise, we're going to see you real soon. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Amen.